Claire's always signal. Chloe's signal coming out of the bag. Okay.
Oh, that's okay, Mommy. You can go back to your bed.
Welcome to Two Boys. Oh, shit. I fucked it up.
Yeah.
We'll keep it in. Keep it in.
Two Boys Podcast.
This is Gage checking in.
This is Eddie checking in.
And this is Two Boys Podcast coming at you live with microphones again. Mic season. Of course, Chloe licking up at the bowl. So, Eddie and I have been talking. First of all, of course, you can find us on YouTube at Two Boys Podcast. Find us anywhere podcasts are listened to. You got Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, CastBox, iTunes.
Cloudy with a Chance of Sunny. Oh,
not SoundCloud. I feel like we should make a SoundCloud account and re-upload all the episodes there.
We could do that, yeah.
I feel like, okay, we'll talk about that off pod. We always go in.
You know, there's SoundCloud rappers and other SoundCloud podcasts.
SoundCloud Potters. Harry Potters. So today, also our Facebook group, Two Boys Podcast. Any feedback you have, obviously you can leave in the YouTube comments.
Yeah, same thing on YouTube. Leave some comments for us.
YouTube comments for sure. But of course, we check our Facebook group probably the most for feedback. That's kind of like where our community will grow once we have people listening. So
yeah,
take a stop on Facebook, check out our group, join our group. Stay active there.
Yeah, got feedback. This week, if anybody who listens or goes on any of those platforms, in the comments, put down your best, like, Hypebeast-esque, you know, comment.
Yeah, actually, and even if you're listening to this years later, like, whatever, like, tell us your favorite piece, your favorite item. Maybe it's a Yeezy or a, you know, Polo or anything.
Because we're going to segue into a big change, I think.
But first, because I try to put this on YouTube. If you watch the YouTube episodes, you probably see the little scroll of like Eddie's social media, my social media. But just for the audio listeners, let's get this out there. Social media. So Eddie, where can people find you on social media?
So personally? I'm on Instagram for Instagram. Boom. It's just brain fart. Wow. No, I'm on Instagram. You can find me Surfern on Instagram. That's pretty much my personal Instagram where I post like all my furniture stuff. Now I'm starting to do my thrifting stuff on there too.
There you go, bud.
I just took a picture of all my finds yesterday, which is really nice. And that's really it. Like I'm really basic with my platforms. I oversee the Facebook page and the Twitter page for Two Boys Podcast. So if you guys are on that, then I'll definitely be on there attentive. Hearing your feedbacks, questions, posts, so on and so forth. And are we also going to do our eBay page as well?
I'm going to include, you're not going to read out the URL on here.
http://.
In addition, and of course we'll get into this, we'll touch on that at the beginning of the first segment, but first for my social media, it's garbage man gage, underscore between each word, garbage underscore man underscore gauge on Instagram, garbage man gauge, no space, no dots or dashes or underscores on Twitter. Experimenting with Twitter right now. We'll get more into that in a second. But yeah, that's where I post thrifts, finds, cool things. I got a personal Instagram, but nobody, it's not gonna make me money, so I'm not gonna push that shit. I don't give a fuck.
Whatever.
But while on the topic of that, let's segue into the most obvious to us, at least. We are taking a little bit of a different stride here at Two Boys Podcast.
Oh, shit.
Not different in the fact that we're constantly smacking mics, but Eddie and I had some conversation before, and we're talking. Might want to adjust that mic, by the way. It's going to have a different orientation. There you go. Oh, you lift it up more so it's like parallel with you. There you go. Smack the shit out of it.
I know, right?
Hold for audio technical problems. Eddie and I were talking about what this podcast is for us, for the audience that's listening, watching, what we want to do with it. And I think at taking advice from Gary Vee's books, or metaphorical book, not actual book, but I mean, also his book, is over-indexing on the thing that you find the most interesting, you know, leaning into that one thing. And for us, as you can probably tell from all of the talk that we've had in the last 12 episodes, is thrifting, flipping, finds, and all things arbitrage, retail, otherwise. So Eddie and I will be using this media, using this platform to be talking primarily. Obviously, we'll still veer into our personal lives, our career, everything like that. But right now, what we find most interesting, our passion on the side, thing that has the most growth right now is flipping. particularly on eBay, but we'll talk about other platforms.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eddie, take it away with your what your thoughts are on this move.
I'm definitely excited about it because it's definitely becoming a bigger part of our lives now. Not so much where it's just a hobby that we do on our free time, but it's something that we're dedicating a block of our lives in the week where we actively go out and we're finding new things to sell on eBay. And that's mainly because it's kind of like a thrilling activity to do. I think the more I learn, the better it becomes because it develops and creates more opportunity for me to go out and, you know, see, you know, what I'm looking at, you know, what I want. Even the more obscure items that, like, in the beginning when I started thrifting, I wouldn't have noticed, but now I do. It's just so much fun. It's just that much fun. It's, how can I word this correctly? It's like when I first started, I would go through a rack and I would like look up on comps on eBay. It's like, oh, is this a good item? Okay. Is this a good item? Okay. Mm-hmm. But now it's transforming for me where I can kind of just eye the item, or if it like pops out to me, actually I'll talk about it later.
Sure.
Then I'll take it, put it in my cart, and then I'll go onto the side like halfway through my thrifting, and then I'll start like listing through comps to see whether or not they're good.
I took that advice too.
Yeah,
because it makes you think easier. Like when you're looking at something, what makes you want to pull out your phone and check the comps? It doesn't matter. Just follow that instinct, put it in your cart, and then check those comps later because you're going to skip over stuff anyways.
Yeah.
If you miss something and you're like, oh, I should have got that thing, you wouldn't have known to pick it out of the rack anyways.
Yeah.
So why sit there looking through your phone? First of all, it's kind of annoying because you take up a little space, plus people are looking over your shoulder. Go find a corner, find all the things you want for that section. And I did that recently and it proved to be helpful because I went through like lightning blast, six different items. I found one of them was lying on this bed right now, which we'll get into towards the end. But I took that advice from Eddie and it's proved very fruitful because it makes you a more effective seller. Mm-hmm. And also going into this new move for our podcast, because before I feel like we were floating around, we were trying to find our footing, we were talking about ourselves, but is that always so interesting? Sometimes it's interesting for us for sure to have a sit down conversation. But more fascinating is this growth, this excitement, new finds, terrible lean weeks, super fatty, beautiful weeks. For instance, actually, I'm not going to get into that tangent. Let me put this disclaimer up front right now. We are trying to sell you things. Our job is we are shop owners for what it is worth now in the digital space, in the click and order, not necessarily brick and mortar era. We are here.
I like that.
No, I'm not going to take credit. I've heard that before. Okay. It's like the alternative to brick and mortar is click and order. But Eddie and I are salespeople. We have inventory. We have stock. We are trying to push that stock. We are trying to have our items find it their way to people who want them. Because ultimately, we have our own tastes. We have our own finds. Some things we keep. Voice crack. Sometimes we find things that we actually like and we want to keep them. But we are trying to sell things. You know, I listen to other podcasts with a lot of different sponsors and stuff, and that's cool. And people have their own merch store. That's even cooler. But what we're fascinated in, what we want to make money off of and make a living off of for the time being, like a nice little side hustle to cushion our lives financially, is thrifting, finding, flipping. There will be the people who say, like, yeah, but you're just like buying stuff for cheap at like Goodwill and then like say, but Eddie and I dig through so much trash on a daily basis. When we find that gold, we're basically like treasure hunters.
Yeah.
And so that I'm saying that in a way to say, to be transparent, to say that we want to sell things. We, you know, we don't just go out and have fun because we like looking at pretty color and stitch quality and zippers and stuff like that. So we will be including our store links so that you can check out what we have in stock. I'm going to include Eddie's link. I'm going to include my own. And then at the end, you know, for our flip of the week, I think instead of just showing what we have, we're going to talk after the podcast, but we'll have links to our specific staff pick or like our specific store picks
staff
for
picks.
Yeah, I know.
Top picks.
The one staff member. Yeah. We're going to have links in the description of either the podcast that you're listening to or YouTube, probably be easier, of a link out to our eBay store to that specific item that mm-hmm. we're trying to promote. So we're going to talk about stuff maybe that we've already sold, but we're going to pick at least one thing at the end of the show to push specifically and say, this is a really cool item I found. And I think, you know, for whoever is going to want this, they're going to really want this one thing.
Yeah.
So just wanted to put that at the top of the podcast. That's part of our move, as well as it is an extension to try to show our growth and development as people and in our careers and in our fields, what this path that we're taking with this podcast, this will be part of it. This selling will be part of it. And I'm really excited because I want to see what kind of different people that we touch in our audience. You know, we might have some hype beasts and we might have some, I just sold a snow baby. My grandma, Elise, love you, grandma. My favorite person in the world. She has snow babies. They're these little porcelain figurines, little ceramic figurines, sorry, that are like little snow people. And they're in different tableaus of like sledding down a hill or going to school or whatever. And I found one with like a, it was like a tourist with an iPhone taking pictures. And I wouldn't have known what that little doll was lying on the shelf at Goodwill. And neither did the cashier. And he gave it to me for 99 cents and I flipped it for 15 bucks. So thanks, grandma. I love you. But so that's different audiences, different people. But yeah, I'm super excited about this because this is the stuff that we get hyped about. Dude, in our downtime.
I fucking love it. Yeah. I mean, piggybacking off of what Gage, like, I feel like I can't talk about this openly until I leave where I'm working at because, you know, we could probably get in trouble for it.
Oh.
But at the same time, it's out there. Yeah, it is questionable. It's a gray area. The gray market. Gray area.
Gray market, as we've heard from certain people.
But I think it's interesting, too, because is one of those things is kind of a psychological thing that I learned is like you don't realize how much something comes up until you're like you have your mind on it. So once I started to resell and then talk about reselling to other people, you definitely find other people who hate it, do it, or just like oft times, you know, occasionally want to resell. But just the other day, one of our coworkers, he also resells. And so he has his own niche, like, area of reselling that me and Gage have no knowledge about.
Are you talking about gray market guy?
Yeah, the gray market.
Oh, yeah. This guy flips watches on the side.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know if I wanted to go that deep.
Oh, but, I mean, it's not like he knows how to listen to us. Plus, like, all of the stuff we're talking about
is identity protection.
Years and years later. I mean, other people flip certain wrist wear.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
How vague are we going to get? Fucking timepieces.
So like it was interesting to find out what he does to make extra money in the resale market. And you never know, like Gage and I can start, well, that can open up another, you know, avenue for us on reselling, because it's you're, you know, just widening the scope in terms of all the information and all the possible chances you have of making money. And if we just start knowing some generic and basic information about how to resell watches, mm-hmm. next time we go to you know, a Goodwill, Salvation Army, or like your mom and pop, you know, discount clothing store, like if we if our eye catches on a certain item, then now we have that like background knowledge of like, oh, like that is a possibility, versus like, well, I don't know enough about it right now, so I can't do anything about it. But then also too, like just the other day, this girl came into the place I was working at, and she had a Ralph Lauren teddy bear shirt, mm-hmm. like of the bear.
Shout out Teddy Fresh.
Yeah. And so I literally said, hey, I like your shirt. And we just, it was like opening a fucking like locker full of, you know, conversation or whatever. And she was saying, he's like, yeah, like I like to thrift, and you know, I found this one time during thrifting. I was like, what? No way, like I also like to thrift. And then we were like just like kind of like bouncing back and forth of like, you know, why we like thrifting. And then like I got into the conversation and was like, well, like, you know, I thrift, but like I actually thrift to resell online. And she, like, her face glowed up because she was like, I actually want to like start getting into that. And so she was like giving me her ideas and like how she wants to start and whatnot. And luckily she told me, because she was going to get into it in the wrong way. That's she true. Was going to go to places like Buffalo Exchange and the Garment District.
Never go to Buffalo Exchange.
Yeah.
Fuck Buffalo Exchange.
Yeah, well, they're a chain store that they're essentially resellers too. They get clothes from the public, but they only select what's currently trending in styles and fashion, and then they sell those at market price. So if you wanted to start reselling, it wouldn't be a bad idea to go to those places like the Garment District and Buffalo Exchange to see what they're taking in and what they think is selling, so you can start getting an idea of how you can start reselling and what you should be looking for. But never go into a Buffalo Exchange or a Garment District or like high end
yeah, because they
like thrifting store,
they inflate their prices
for exactly sure. To try to resell.
They're doing what we are doing but with a storefront.
Exactly.
They're finding things, or they're having things come to them. And also it's a consignment shop too. Mm-hmm. So it's like they have a deal with their pseudo sellers where you come, you give them an article of clothing, you say, you know, this is mine, you can have it in your storefront, and then you give out a percentage for having it. It's basically like a way more expensive
yeah.
eBay.
So yeah. But yeah, I told her, I was like, yeah, you don't want to do that.
That's yeah, not how no, you start at the bottom. First of all, you don't even start at the bottom. As we talked about before, you start in your closet.
Yeah, start in your closet.
Flipping starts in the closet because that's all free real estate. But yeah. I think it'd be interesting. Yes, that's hopefully she can tag along with us after the pod and go out thrifting. Yeah. We had some interesting situations on our sales this last couple of weeks. First of all, I mean, we don't have that many listeners, but for people who notice a gap in the dates, if someone really cares, sorry about this this gap in weeks. I was not feeling so well, so
yeah.
I couldn't pod last week.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, also I've been having like crazy schedule changes because of new promotions.
New promotion? Who this?
Yeah. So.
But I wanted to talk about the downfalls, or not even downfall, that's way over dramatic, but some hiccups in our sales, you know, specifically when it comes to returns. Because that's always, you're always dreading if someone else returns something, broken, whatever. For me personally, I sent out a Mickey Mouse Toys R Us exclusive Easter doll with like bunny ears, and the bunny ears had in shipping become ripped, like the stitching had ripped off the head. It was really unfortunate, and I noticed when I was packing it that it was a little too tight. It might have been risked for ripping or tearing or something like that. So when I got that message, it was not nice. But you know what? I gave the woman the full refund. I told her she can keep it, fix it if she'd like to, you know, give it out to her kids or whatever, because it was still like had its tag and everything. It was just the ears that got detached. So that was unfortunate. But what I, you know, heard before, and in certain instances, maybe not like Eddie's instance, but in certain instances, if you have bad service and you overcorrect that service with really, really good service, you somehow can get better results, get better feedback than if you just outright delivered, not more consistently get better feedback than when you just outright deliver good service from the jump. It's because it's a perspective thing. Like I started way down here and I came back up here, because now the woman has the, you know, slightly damaged Minnie Mouse doll. And she has her money back for safety. She'd just be like, well, she didn't get exactly what she wanted. She got it back.
Yeah.
But that was actually my first refund that I've ever had to do.
I've done a couple of refunds. And that's because I was selling a lot more mugs, I believe, than you in the beginning. And so, and this is definitely to my own fault, because I didn't have the best packing material for some of the items.
Newspaper. That's all you need, brother.
Yeah, exactly. But like now I have bubble wrap.
So oh, I got you.
I've added insurance. Okay. But yeah, like I was used to having to do returns and refunds on my items. But just recently I had my first clothing return because another one.
Sorry, we can't talk on the podcast, but yeah, Gagey's phone is blowing up.
Nice.
Apologies, non-apologies. I'm going to keep it out of frame just so that nobody sees anything that I'm doing.
A side note, this month has been a very good month for us, nonetheless, because now I'm, for at least for my eBay, I've been tracking like my sales and.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't another one. It was just the payment was received. Sometimes there's a delay.
Damn.
Still though, two in like an hour is great.
It's really good.
Okay, sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
But yeah,
Like I'm tracking down my expenses, how much I'm selling.
But talk about the refund that happened to you recently. Yeah, because before it was mugs and stuff like that. This one was
really shitty because I bought a Woolrich coat, and I was only concerned about the outside because in my assumption, I was like, if the outside is good, the inside is good. So I sent it. The lady gets it, and then she sent me a message on eBay. She was like, I just like put the jacket on, and there's a rip on the sleeve, like on the inside of the sleeve.
The liner, yeah.
So when she puts her arm in, it won't come out the other side because, like, it's inside. And so she's like, I can't believe you didn't even notice this. Like, how can you sell me something like that? And I genuinely didn't know. I didn't do my due diligence when checking the piece because I was just only concerned with the outside. And I assumed because the outside is good, the inside would have been fine. But I was mad, but at the same time, I was like, take this as a learning opportunity to, you know, check your shit before you buy it. And gauge, you know, going above and beyond. When I emailed her like right away too, which is nice. So it's like I have my full attention onto her or whoever the person is, but I'm pretty sure it's her. But I was like, look, you're right. I didn't do my due diligence. I sold you an item that was bad. Just open a request for a return. I'll pay for the shipping and I'll get your money back as soon as possible. And I apologized multiple times. Like, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that was the case. You know, for next time, I'll definitely do, you know, do my due diligence. And on top of that, she's a top rated buyer, which is like crazy because
how can you be a top rated buyer?
You know, she had so many reviews on just buying. I went on her page.
What I'm confused about when someone buys something from you and you see like 1,354, like what does that number mean? Does that mean feedback on her as a buyer?
Yeah, man.
Like,
yeah.
Did she made those feedbacks or people made those feedbacks back on her?
No, people made those feedbacks back on her. I was looking through her page because I was like, okay, because sometimes too, as a seller, like I kind of want to cover my own bases on making sure that if people are gonna returning stuff, they're not like trying to pull a fast one on me.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, no offense to her, you know, of course she's trusted as a buyer, but I wanted to go through her feedback, and she had no negative feedback as far as I could see, all positive. And I was looking through, it was like A+ buyer, A+ buyer, A+ buyer, payment received immediately, great to work with, would work again, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to have her, you know, buy something for my eBay again. So I was like, okay, like she's definitely legit. And, you know, she's not being like
an asshole. Live positive, negative, neutral on buyers?
Because yeah.
You got to show me how to do that after the podcast, because when I saw a buyer that asked for me to leave feedback on them, mm-hmm. I didn't notice a positive, neutral, or negative. I just saw a comment window that you could put your...
There's a leave back section for them.
I was going to say, maybe I... Because I've been neglecting to leave feedback on any of my buyers. I think that's... I should go back and leave feedback on all of them for sure, because that's kind of unfair. I've been asking for feedback recently, but I didn't know how important it is to have buyer feedback. I thought that was another thing I did.
I left feedback on her page. She was like, A+ buyer. There you go. Payment immediately.
There you go.
Okay. So yeah.
I'll definitely have to revisit that then. But yeah, that just goes to show that's like my philosophy is it's like even if you have like a shitty buyer that's kind of trying to get the better of you, you hope that it doesn't happen. I think it's more rare than you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually those kind of people get kicked off the platform for taking advantage of the system. Cheaters never really prosper. That is absolutely true. Not because there's some pie in the sky morality that strikes down anyone who doesn't act according to the rules, but the crowd, the public that deals with that person is not going to want to deal with that person, and eBay is not going to want that toxic person on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they're going to find their way out the door because no one wants to deal with them, no one wants to do business with them, so you don't have to worry about that. It sucks, and it's a sting for sure.
It is.
Because you get home, and you're like, oh, notification from eBay, and then it's like a notification. It's like
an angry-ass message back to you.
You know what makes me think of is like eBay's really – I just realized why people have so many points of feedback. Like eBay's really old. I forgot how old eBay is. Like it's been around since like the internet's existed.
I think and it still looks like it too. Maybe 2001.
Yeah.
I think that's when it started, 2001.
Yeah, it's very early.
Even though it felt bad and is definitely a negative, I flipped it to a positive, saying that, okay, this is an opportunity to start correcting the way I look at items now when I go thrifting. So I like examine the whole piece very closely, and now my threshold for defects is like much more like strict. So if an item's, you know, too dirty, then and I know for a fact it won't be, you know, removed after a wash, not going to take it. If there is a pull, not going to take it. It depends. If there's a pull, like a thread pull, and I can just cut it off and the garment's fine, okay, that's salvageable. Like, you know, it's just a piece of thread hanging off. But if it's a pull that's like snagging a lining of the shirt, not going to take it. You know, if it's not fixable,
worn out elastic.
Yeah, if it's not like redeemable under your care before trying to sell it, don't waste your time on it.
Yeah, because the time you're putting into salvaging that piece, first of all, may not yield results, and you're also putting labor into it, and you're not accounting for that. Then that digs into your profit, because that's time that you could have spent doing other stuff. Like, even just, especially for many people, this is just going to become a side hustle. You know, things that you do on the side, sometimes on your day off, when you're out and about with your friends, maybe you're finding stuff. Don't let it eat up into your time and become like, if you want to keep this a hobby, don't let it become too much work. And if it is your work, think about what those work hours could be better used for.
Yeah. And then also too, on my listings, I'm more transparent on like giving much more clear descriptions and just talking in depth more about like the actual piece, the overall quality. I don't say it's perfect anymore, because obviously unless it's new with tags and like fresh out the box, it's not going to be perfect.
Wrapped in plastic.
Yeah. But now I go like, condition is good, condition is great. And if it's with tags and it's like totally unscathed, condition is perfect. And then I go under that and I like list off like, okay, so what's wrong with this item? It was like, it was gently worn, definitely worn. The graphic is like faded. For example, this Burton backpack that I got and actually just sold, like the same day I posted it, the same day it sold, this Burton backpack is not, you know, is in good condition. There's no rips, like everything on it is great. It just has a few stains on the top. And I was very clear on that on my listing too.
And there's personal writing in it too.
Yeah, and there's personal writing on it, which I fucking hate.
I know, when people write their names on backpacks, it breaks my heart, because see them and it's like, oh, I don't care, Steve. I don't want your name on my backpack.
Same thing people who put that on their fucking clothes, man. Like, nobody's going to steal your goddamn clothes unless you're, like, living in the middle of,
like you're
in a homeless, like, house. And
you find a nice ski jacket, and it's got, like, a name in Sharpie on the inside of the tag, and the tag is part of the nice part of the, you know.
Like, people don't want to be wearing other people's, like, named clothing. Like, that's fucking...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about... If someone's going to steal it, they're not going to care that your name's
but,
on it.
I'm just being more transparent, more honest and upfront about what my listings are like, because I don't want any surprises anymore with my buyers when they receive my things. So on top of that, it protects me too. So when doing your due diligence, you're being upfront to your buyer, but you're also protecting yourself, the seller. Because you don't want to, you know, be held accountable for something that you didn't tell the person in the first place. And then if a person tries to go like, well, I want a return on this, but then you stated it on your listing that X, Y, and Z is on it, then now you protected yourself, because not only did the buyer agree to buy it in the condition that you posted it for, but you, you have that backing and that evidence saying that you, as the buyer, didn't do your part to thoroughly read through. It's like kind of like reading the term and conditions. You know, if you just hit accept, and then all of a sudden you're finding out all these extra things that you have to abide by, then it's your fault for not reading the terms and conditions, because you just up and just hit accept and did not think about, you know, the consequences that came with it.
Exactly. I would just pick the mic up just a little bit. I'm trying to keep it like parallel with your voice, because you talk up here.
Yeah. There
you
go. Yeah.
So I don't want you to talk down on it. Just because I want to...
Don't talk down on the mic.
I typically talk a lot louder than Eddie. Eddie talks a little softer, but also like I peak and Eddie doesn't. And then when Eddie peaks sometimes... so we're trying to solve the audio issues. But we'll get it. We'll get it super well produced one day. Always room for growth.
Yeah.
For sure. But I think it's enough for our personal stuff. I think we can just wrap this up. Let's talk about...
Yeah.
Let's talk about
definitely in future episodes. We're going to go and continue on, you know, getting into the niches and aspects of thrifting, you know, the logistics and stuff like that. Because if you guys do really want to learn how to thrift and do what we're doing, I'm not going to build myself up on a huge ass pedestal. But, you know, I started thrifting the things that I had at my house. You know, that's where I started really basic. And now I'm building myself up where I have boxes of inventory under here. I have like packages behind me that are ready to ship out. And it's still very small scale. So I'm not going to like blow myself up to make it look like I'm super successful, six figure, you know, I'm three digits right now in my sales right now. And I'm trying to build up, I'm trying to build up to four, but like, again, you know, we're baby steps. This is where I'm at right now. It's very small scale. It's very still in home, you know, personal. Like, this is not a registered business by any means, but I do want to get there because I want to pay taxes. I don't want to be evading, you know, the IRS.
Yeah, no joke, bro.
But that's why I want to say also to, we do know a lot of things about thrifting and working on eBay. I sell things on Depop, so like that's another platform that I'm trying to get onto, which is in the parallels of eBay. eBay is like, I want to say corporate, but Depop is more cultural, like forward. So you are selling clothing and accessories, but you are presenting those items more in a lifestyle approach versus, you know, here's my item, buy, click and buy now. Mm-hmm. Because people want to see what it looks like when you're wearing it, not when it's laying on a bed with good lighting.
Yeah, so, for sure. Also, I just realized I forgot to tell the story again. So I'm going to, you know what, instead of wrapping up, I'm going to go through the story real quick, because if we continue on holding this story out every episode, it's never going to live up to the hype of like, like Gage made $1 million off of something he found at Marshall's. No. Okay. So here's the story. I just need to get this out so that we can finally have it on the podcast instead of me like, oh, I forgot to tell the story every time.
It's so funny. Sorry. He's wearing Woolrich socks.
I didn't even notice that.
And the coat that is being returned is a Woolrich coat.
I'm going to be straight with you. I did not, when I bought these socks, I did not know that they were Woolrich. I bought them from Marshall's because I needed boot socks, because I work two jobs. So when I go from one job to the other, my feet are sweaty and disgusting. You always, like Lieutenant Dan said, take care of your feet. And then I didn't even notice
until your socks when they're wet.
Yeah, exactly. Never let your feet stay wet.
Quick pro tip, and then we'll go on. Anybody looking for Woolrich, Woolrich just recently stopped making their clothes in the U.S. So anything, I think it's prior to 2017, all U.S. made stuff. So that usually sells generally well on eBay.
Yeah, that just became certified. And if it's vintage,
even better.
Yeah. Okay, the story is, when I was trying to make a foray onto Poshmark, I've since given up on Poshmark. I might return. This might be like a, I can't believe Gage back in 2019 gave up on Poshmark. It became the next biggest thing. For me, it was taking up too much time. You had to be engaged too much on social media. However, as a way to start to enhance my closet, I asked coworkers to donate clothes that they were otherwise going to just throw out anyways. I told them, I'm trying to get into the clothing selling market. I'm trying to learn brands. I'm trying to learn entrepreneurial tactics for when it comes to clothing specifically. So I ended up with a bag full of baby Jordans, baby Adidas, and one pair of baby Tims. Because one of the people who donated was a mother, and her son had grown out of all these toddler shoes. So now I have a bag full of toddler shoes. I go to get my haircut at the barber shop, and flashback to the episode where I had that haircut. That was that day that happened, that this happened. Probably episode 10, maybe. So anyways, I go to this barbershop. I get my haircut. There's a lot of kids in this barbershop. I look to the kid next to me. He's got Jordans on. Now, this kid is a toddler. I don't know. I'm bad with kids' ages. But it's a little kid. And his mother's sitting right there on her phone. And they're all talking, right? But I mean baby Jordans, like little feet Jordans. Things where they grow out of them in like a year. Like measured in months. Like 9 month, 8 month, 12 month, whatever. So the woman who's sitting next to me, her son's getting the haircut, and I turned to her, and while I'm finishing up my haircut, I was like to the mother, hey, your kid's got these Jordans. Does he want more, or do you need more Jordans? And because I got some, I got like, you know, a bag full of Jordans that I'm willing to sell. And she's like, oh yeah, well, actually, now you mentioned that, you know, this, he likes to dress up. He likes Jordans. He also likes Adidas sometimes too. And Eddie knows a lot more about the clothing market, and I actually sent him a picture of the, or shoes specifically, sorry. I sent him a picture of all the shoes, and he explained some of them, what they are. Like, this is a Jordan 5, this one's a Concord, this one's a lot like more.
Concords are more coveted than Jordans.
And so I had a little bit of knowledge behind me to give a price on them. So I got her number, and she had to leave and go, but the person who was cutting the little kid's hair, he didn't really speak that well English. He didn't speak that good of English. So he communicated with my hairdresser, and my hairdresser told me, hey, this guy next to you, you know, let's just call him, like, Rick. Rick wants to buy your...
A Dominican barber named Rick.
I don't know. I wasn't trying to say Pablo. I wasn't trying to be racist or whatever. I don't know what the fuck his name is. I'm just trying to throw out a generic name. Rick. Rick wants to, you know, Rick has a kid and he wants to buy those shoes off of you. And I was like, okay, bet. Well, I just got my hair cut. I'm going to go take a shower and I'll be back, because I didn't want to be all like itchy and stuff. I said, I'll be back in 30 minutes. So I come back with a bag of Jordans and I set up shop in this barbershop. I open up the bag. It's just like a reusable, like one of these bags, like these reusable vinyl giant handle bags, and I have it full of Jordans and some Adidas shoes and some other shoes, but mostly Jordans. I open it up, and when he's done cutting the guy's hair, I sell him these Jordans right there. Or I didn't even think I sell Jordans. I think they were just like Adidas shoes. And then there was another barber, and he's like, oh man, let me get some of those. And so I got these guys' numbers. I texted with, or I dealed with them. I made like $60 that day just from there. So I basically made back what I paid for my haircut plus on top of that. And then I left, but I also had that woman's number, and now to this day I shop for her too. So when I'm out thrifting, not only am I looking for stuff to put on eBay, but because of my networking, because of the people that I communicate with, I've now opened up a cash business for selective custom personal shopping. So I look out for anything pink, not the color, but the brand pink from Victoria's Secret. This woman loves pink. So I found a pink onesie, like a pajama onesie. And she's like, oh my God, I want it so bad. I would have never bought this thing, by the way. The comps on eBay are not going to be anywhere close. But because this one woman specifically likes this brand, I can find things that might not necessarily be so higher clout on the rack. And I can buy it knowing that I got a cash return waiting for me at home. No upload fees, no final value fees, no shipping, all cash. And that cash goes, guess what? Right back to shopping.
Exactly. That it was just like that shirt I sent you yesterday. I got home after thrifting, and this one shirt was the last shirt I picked up before I left. And I don't know what it was. I was just so drawn to it because it looked really unique. It was this a polo short sleeve. And it had this, like, screen print, like, chain link on it, like, that went through the entire pattern of the entire length of the shirt. And it was, like, a little bit faded, so it, like, had a little bit of a vintage look to it. And I didn't even bother looking up the comps on it. I just did not care. I just saw it, took it, it was $3, got home, and then I saw my roommate Harry. I was like, oh, like, it just did some thrifting, and then I was like, oh, like, dude, you gotta check out this shirt, like, I picked up. He was like, yeah, sure. And then I showed him, and he was like, he put it on. He was like, how much do you want for it? I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, man, like, I'll buy it right now from you. I was like, $15. Then boom, I just made back part of my investment that entire day in like 10 seconds, which is awesome. And then just like Gage said, you know, I don't have to worry about listing fees, PayPal, shipping, none of that. Just quick flip, $15 in my pocket now. And then, like he said, going right back. Putting that, reinvesting that back into flipping. So
exactly. Sorry, pardon the zipping. No. We're about to increase the production. I think
we have to get better at, like, when we're doing things on the side, because we're not really talking to each other. We're kind of talking to the audience.
Yeah.
So I think we have to get better at, like, not being like, oh, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm prepping a camera. We're going to start experimenting with multiple camera setup. This was a special occasion because I didn't have work to come from, or else I wouldn't have brought the camera necessarily, because I'm not going to bring a whole ass camera throughout the day. But we're going to experiment. I'm going to turn on my camera now. Fuck, I guess it was on this whole time. It had an auto off, don't worry. Not that you were worried, but...
Technology.
This is the story of about how I'm stalling because I want to catch focus. Let's see. Okay. So, I am going to be using this camera. Depending on how this... Bang the mic again. Eddie, can you
do the mic
clap for me, please? Perfect. Okay, now we're recording on my camera here. So now I can actually look at the details of the stuff that we're doing for the find of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie, I'm going to have you present to me. I guess this... Sorry for the so cumbersome maneuver here. I'm trying to...
Did you just break it?
No, it's flexible. It's a ball joint. I haven't used this in a while. It's pretty sticky. There we go. Shout out to Gorillapod. Oh, man, I haven't used this in a minute. Okay, so Sorry about that. We are going to be now going into our find of the week, and yeah. I'm going to be deferring to Eddie for this for just the moment.
What do you want to start off?
Well, actually, let's start with Burton. That's got a bit of a story behind it.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, I found this Burton Tinder bag at the thrift store. It was $6. So here's the funny thing about it, right? So, I found it. Like, it caught my eye immediately because the color was really unique, and I really liked the, I don't know what this is called, but, like, I guess the tassels, if you want to say that.
Can you show it off to the camera, my camera, better?
Yeah.
So just hold it up to your chest like that.
So, yeah, I found it. The color was really nice. It was in really good condition. There's a few stains on it here and there, but they're very light and faint. So you would really have to look at it closely in order to see them. And the funny thing about this item was Gage actually saw it first, like on a day that he went out thrifting. But he was like, nah, he couldn't find any good comps on it. But when I found it and I was like, oh, I'm going to resell it, my thought process was, well, I can't find an exact comp on it, but I know for a fact Burton is selling because it was a lot of people who were selling it. And then I was realizing as I was going through the listings, the more unique and the more like out there the Burton backpacks were, the better that they were selling. So like I couldn't find anything. You want me to unclip it?
Yeah, like open it up.
So I couldn't find this exact model, but I just knew that, like, okay, well, this one isn't on here, so there's a higher chance that it can sell. And so I listed it for $34.99, free shipping, and literally I posted it that night, woke up the next morning, somebody already bought it. So, and then I sent a picture to Gage. I was like, yo, and he's like, damn, I fucking passed on that.
Yeah, it was a nice knapsack too. And I was jealous because my laptop is extremely large outside of the standard for how the laptop sizes. It's closer to like a gaming laptop. So no mainstream backpacks fit my laptop. And it's really frustrating because it's fucking nice backpack. I wish that was my laptop. That was the instance where I wanted to buy that backpack for myself if I had a laptop that would have fit it.
Also, too, like, that's the great thing about thrifting is, you know, if you're going to buy some stuff and it's going to be for you. Wait, where did you say the name was on this?
Or
the
open it up. On the inside of the upper, on the upper flap, there shouldn't have a name there. They should have a name there, sorry. We're so bad. Right here. Or it's got, like, a date or something.
Oh, okay, yeah, that, okay.
But there was I thought I saw a name somewhere, too.
Yeah, the name, yeah, somebody named Burton put their name on
here. Shut the fuck up. Okay, I'm trying to finagle this camera too. Well, what's up, Nation? I'm trying to like vlog style this shit.
Yeah. Welcome to my daily vlog.
Yeah, I don't know.
But okay, actually, I want to show them something really fast.
Yeah. So,
here's something annoying that, like, thrifting actually. So I found this really nice Tommy Hilfiger shirt, right?
Yeah. Fuck. I have a zoom lens on this. Again, man. It's okay.
So nice. So here's the definite downside of thrifting this shit right
here. I can zoom in.
Can zoom in?
Yeah, just hold it there. That's good.
It's like right there. So the place that we thrift at, they
the spider bite.
Yeah, they fucking staple the tags on here. And so like I do my best to carefully remove the staples and then this shit happens.
Yep, I got it.
So now I can't sell it. Like I'll probably keep this for myself because it is a nice Tommy. I don't look good in white. I don't care, but you know, I'm definitely gonna keep it for myself. It's a little big, so what I was
just gotta find a place to
sit. But is this one and then this other fucking football jersey, soccer football, not football,
fucking
football.
European.
Also, it has holes, but luckily this is spandex, so like the holes on it aren't that noticeable unless I like stretch it like that. But you know, this one's a little bit more salvageable. Things like this, if there are like minor defects with it, like I said earlier, people are a little bit more forgiving on jerseys because definitely people wear them. A lot of times they're athletic wear, so people are going to use it. So they might have a little bit more wear and tear. But things like this that still have a pretty good high price, you could discount it and people will still buy it. And they're pretty forgiving about some minor quality defects with it. But yeah, these are examples. Like sometimes we don't always win, like with fines. And that's fine. You know, you just got to make sure you have more wins than you do have losses. And you just have to do your part in making sure that things like this don't affect your sales too much.
All right.
But that's enough on
I'm going to throw the camera over to you. So hold those handles like bike handles. Kind of. It might drop.
Bring, bring.
So my find of the week So wait, is the Burton, do you have an item that you have still in store? Because I know your Burton sold.
For what?
Something that you might want to link out to for this video, for link this episode.
I have a... Oh, yeah, I have some... Okay, maybe this is my own personal bias, but I have some vintage JanSport, and I don't think this one's vintage, but it's definitely, like, retro. They're both... The JanSport is a windbreaker. It's all green, like, forest green, very, like, outdoorsy-looking JanSport pullover. Really nice. Very good quality, thin, lightweight, but can definitely keep you warm because the way the material's laid out is like not permeable, if that's the right word. So you're not gonna get wet if it rains. And then I have an Adidas track jacket that's like in really good condition. The only thing is the pull tab on the zipper has the Adidas emblem on it, but it's cracked, so a piece of it is missing. But other than that, it's like perfectly fine. You know, honestly, if you remove that Adidas emblem, it would be fine altogether.
All right.
Oh, that's Grace actually.
So then, perfect. So then we'll link to that. That'll be Eddie's pick of the week.
Yeah.
And we'll link out to that so you can check that out. We'll probably also put a secondary link. We'll put a secret link of a item that we might not necessarily promote here. I smacked the mic.
Smacking the mic.
This is like the most aggressive, most enthusiastic episode ever. But we're gonna link out to maybe a couple. We'll definitely do the premiere one, whatever Eddie said, because by the time you listen to this podcast, you might.
You might miss out, so stay tuned.
Yeah, so we're gonna keep posting hopefully for people who find it, but we'll find out. Okay.
Back to you, Eddie.
So
back to Eddie now.
So it should be in focus because we're about the same distance away.
Yeah,
this is all in baseball stuff. You got me?
Yeah, you good? You're definitely like close.
Okay. Oh, you can zoom. You can zoom out. That's the focus ring. You know how to use a camera, right?
Yeah, for the most part. Oh, there it is. Okay. Now you're at
18 mil. So, my find of the week. First of all, love. I got to flex on you with this jacket that I found. It's a Nautica.
Flash flex alert.
Duck down puffer. It's reversible to olive, but my favorite side is this yellow with navy. And they got that fat Nautica on the back. Got the fat Nautica for the GoPro cam. Fat Nautica on the back of the neck. Super comfortable, but also super noisy for a podcast. So, I'll throw that back on the bed. But my actual find of the week, something you could find in my eBay store if it's still up there, is a HMP 288 sound mixer. It looks like a novel keyboard. It is, but it's super fun, great for the whole family. And honestly, I've had questioned putting this on my eBay store because I wanted to keep it for myself. It is a foldable keyboard. Notice that. It folds in half. For easy shipping. But it folds in half and you can, look at that, flip it around. Let's turn this baby on. Oh, and I smacked the mic again. Okay. It has a lot of different functions. A lot of cool sound effects. Of course, piano is the most obvious one. It even has, you know, recording functions. And you can replay it. It lights up, my guys. Oh, but you know what? You say, "Oh, I don't like that lights." Well, you can turn it off. It won't light up if you're trying to stay dark in your room. You got you know, different effects. I mean, I think it speaks for itself. If I'm gonna be honest, this thing is so fun, especially for people who have eclectic musical tastes. You know, if you're trying to collect a bunch of different wonky things. One of my favorite YouTubers, Steve Zaragoza, he's got a bunch of weird shit. He's got horns and turn off Siri, turn off. Okay, you got kazoos and shit, but yeah, that's just.
That's like the dual disc of pianos.
Yeah,
You want to send somebody back to Carnegie Hall? Like fucking flip this shit open.
Time. Careful.
Oh shit.
No, it's okay. We're good.
Wait, okay. Is that like a click and switch?
Yeah, just be careful.
Careful with my baby.
Yeah, we'll do a couple like, I'm gonna do a couple post shots after the pod so I can dedicate some like product shots for this, but. That's the new direction we're going with for the podcast. We are shop owners. We're trying to sell you things. I'm going to stop recording here. We're trying to sell. We're trying to be entrepreneurs here. We're trying to find these products a wonderful home that's going to have love and care and wear and flex. So we're going to wrap this baby up. tell us what you think about this episode. We're pretty excited about the new movement we're taking, but give us any feedback, any suggestions, possibility of guests coming on to talk, maybe. Ooh, you know, we're kind of reaching out, talking to different people. So let us know what you think on Facebook.
We definitely want to dive into the community of it all, like Hypebeast people who are also wanting to, who are also reselling and want to resell.
Yes.
So, you know, we want to keep an open mind.
Yes. So check us out on our Facebook group, Two Boys Podcast, on Eddie's Instagram, Sir Fern, S-E-R-F-U-R-N, at Sir Fern on Instagram. I am at GarbageManGage, Garbage_Man_Gage on Instagram, where you can check out all my flips and finds, possibly on Twitter as well with no underscores, but that will be more to come. Check us out on YouTube if you haven't already. And if you are on YouTube, find us anywhere podcasts can be found. And as always, this is Gage signing off.
This is Eddie signing off. Sorry.
This is Eddie being fucking distracted. And this has been Two Boys Podcast. Boom. See you next week.